In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Stop me if you've heard this one before. Well, if you're joining us through video or audio, you can't stop me, so I'll just go on. I received this in an email from a friend some time ago. I don't think it's a true story in that it actually didn't happen. There's a lot of holes in it. But I think it makes a very valid point. The light turned green just in front of him. I'm sorry, the light turned yellow just in front of him. He did the right thing, stopping at the crosswalk, even though he could have beaten the red light by accelerating through the intersection. The tailgating woman behind him was furious and honked her horn, screaming in frustration as she missed her chance to get through the intersection, dropping her cell phone and makeup. As she was still in mid-rant, she heard a tap on her window and looked up into the face of a very serious police officer. The officer ordered her to exit the car with her hands up. He took her to the police station, where she was searched, fingerprinted, photographed, and placed in a holding cell. After a couple of hours, a policeman approached the cell and opened the door. She was escorted back to the booking desk, where the arresting officer was waiting for her with her personal effects. He said, "I'm very sorry for the mistake, ma'am. You see, I pulled up right behind your car while you were blowing your horn, flipping off the guy in front of you, and cursing a blue streak at him. I noticed the 'What Would Jesus Do?' bumper sticker, and the 'Follow Me to Sunday School' bumper sticker, and the chrome-plated Christian fish emblem on your trunk. So naturally, I thought this car must be stolen." Priceless, huh? Among the questions that story asks us is, what are we actually doing to make our actions fit the faith that we profess? And our actions, are they making a witness for Christ, or are they an embarrassment to Christ? It's easy to talk a good game, but does the way we live our lives really express what we claim to believe? One of the points in our second reading, the epistle reading, the story of Philemon and Onesimus and Paul, is similar. Onesimus was a pagan slave owned by a man named Philemon, a Christian, and for some reason we don't know, Onesimus ran away. Slavery was an accepted part of the ancient world, and everyone then, without question, would have thought that it was wrong for Onesimus to run away. We look at things differently today, of course. Now, if I may digress for a moment, slavery is about as old as humanity. The Old Testament patriarch had slaves such as Hagar. The Egyptians kept Hebrew slaves. The word slaves comes from the name of the people who lived in Eastern Europe, the Slavs, the modern-day Ukrainians and Russians, who were enslaved by the Muslims. There was slavery in pre-Columbia America. The movement to end slavery only began about 200 years ago, originating in Britain and the United States. And there are still slaves today, ranging from Christian slaves in the Sudan to sweatshop workers in China to people being trafficked right here in the USA. This is not to say that slavery is normal or natural or good. It's not. It's evil. But slavery didn't start in America, and it's not specific to any one race or tribe or people. When Onesimus ran away from Philemon, he ran to Paul, who ironically happened to be in prison at the time on account of his Christian faith. Paul was the person who had first preached the gospel to Philemon and helped bring him to saving faith in Christ. Onesimus was not planning to escape forever. He intended to return to Philemon's house. Onesimus wanted Paul to mediate whatever the issue was between them, between him and Philemon, so that he could return home in peace and in safety. Onesimus trusted Paul to do this because he had observed Paul's interactions with Philemon in the house church that Philemon led, and he knew that Paul was a just, compassionate, and honorable man. Wouldn't it be great to have that kind of reputation? Paul's life itself was a witness to the gospel he preached, and it gave credibility to the good news of Jesus Christ that he proclaimed. Had Paul talked about the love of Christ and then lied and cheated and stolen, Onesimus would not have trusted Paul. But as it was, Onesimus knew Paul to be a good man, and that must have first piqued his interest in the Lord that Paul served. How many people would observe our lives and want to know more about where we get our strength, our trustworthiness, our faith? Paul wrote to Philemon on Onesimus' behalf. He began by reminding Philemon of who he, Philemon, was, namely a Christian and a child of God. We might even go so far as to say that just as Onesimus was a slave of Philemon's, Philemon was a slave of Christ. Philemon was a wealthy man. He was a slave owner, after all. But figuratively, Philemon was indebted to Paul for his witness and ministry that brought Philemon to faith in Christ. Now, Paul could have guilted Philemon into doing what he wanted by playing the guilt card and saying, "You owe me even more than your life. You owe me your eternal life. So now you better do as I say." But Paul wanted Philemon to do the right thing for the right reason. Paul would have paid back whatever financial loss Onesimus had called Philemon because he would gladly do it just to get them back together. Moreover, Paul wanted Onesimus and Philemon reconciled as brothers in Christ. Paul wanted more than just justice. He wanted Christian mercy and forgiveness. And he got it. Onesimus returned home, and he and Philemon were recognized. Onesimus became a Christian. And Philemon even allowed Onesimus to go and work with Paul as a missionary for some time. Philemon put his faith into action. Now, it can't be documented, but it is believed that Onesimus may have become a Christian bishop late in his life. This story has a happy ending. Our stories are similar. We are all like runaway slaves in that sometime or another we have all left our faith in God behind. But our endings are also happy because Jesus paid the debt of that sin on the cross and has reconciled us to God. As willing servants of Christ our Savior, we live out our lives now as a witness to what Christ has done for us. Certainly, we should avoid scandals and embarrassments to the faith like road rage and things like that. But even more so, we should be positive witnesses for Christ and his church. Obviously, how we conduct ourselves in public with modesty and prudence and humility says a lot about the hope within us. Just being present in worship is a witness to the power of the Word of God. And being in Sunday school or teaching Sunday school or serving others in the church in whatever way you do, whether it's serving communion on Sunday mornings or serving coffee and snacks after the service or at a funeral, those are also very, very powerful witnesses. Our hope is that there will be people who do not yet know Christ, who will see your Christian behavior and experience your good Christian attitude. That will make them wonder, what is so important that you take time out of your life to go to church on Sunday mornings, or wonder of wonder, even board meetings or classes or services in the middle of the week? We hope they will see how unique and special you are because of Christ, and want to hear more about your faith, a faith that isn't just lip service, but real service. Oh Lord, we pray that you will give us opportunities to share our faith. Amen.